God bless you. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. And we usually don't really focus as much as we should on the choir. They outdid themselves today. Give them a good hand. We just thank the Lord for you. There's a lot of sacrifice that goes in for the few minutes that they are on center stage. So God bless you for all that labor. It is so good to be here today. And there's been some transformations in the church. Pastor Chris is preaching every Sunday, but one of the months at the 11 o'clock. So I am now the 8 o'clock pastor of Evangel Church. And it's been a real joy because now I have Shirley coming out to the 8 o'clock service. And I'm going to ask her to come at this time. I thank the Lord for her.
Amen. Amen.
You see, she hesitated quite a bit first. She doesn't take orders very well. But I thank the Lord. We do get along. It was so good just riding with her to church today. I mean, that was real nice. But there was a miracle that happened even before that. We woke up this morning and got out of bed at 6 o'clock. And I took one look at her, and it was a miracle. She looked beautiful. I told her, don't mess with your hair. Go to church the way it is. I mean, it looked like somebody had done a special job on her hair. It was fantastic. And now she's got it down where it's okay. But, I mean, she should have just done what I said and come the way it was, and you would have been impressed. I mean, now, there's a lot of you women that when you get to church, you look beautiful. But I mean, she looked beautiful when she got up. Give her a good hand. We thank the Lord for her. And so, I want you folks to sing a song to her. So glad you're here. Can you do that? And this is the first time that she's been at an 8 o'clock service?
I don't know how long it's been, but it's been a lot of years. But I used to be here at every 8 o'clock. Some of you know that. And then I'd be doing worship at 11 o'clock. And then we used to have Sunday night services. And then I used to do Thursday night services. And I more or less was all by myself. I didn't have all the help. But the Lord has added blessing to you.
This song is for sure. God bless. And just think, like it's 20 years ago, Shirley, go do something.
All right.
I got an old time one we'll try to do this morning. Remember that old one, Just a Little Talk with Jesus? Makes it all right. And Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Well, I once was lost in sin. I had no peace within.
The Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance.
That's right. That's right.
The Bible says if you got it, you don't lose it. Right. Hallelujah. And I'm going to ask Minister Michael Bonner and everybody else and you singers here at the microphones, I want you to lay hands on Cheryl that God will use her in a fresh way. Let's just believe the Lord. Pastor, God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Before we pray, I just want to say the Bible says that he who refreshes others shall himself also be refreshed. And Shirley Bogle, we pray in this morning that as God has used you to refresh us, that Lord, you might refresh this woman of God, that you might revive within her a freshness and a newness, the Lord. Allow it to be fresh and new again, the Lord. Give her renewed joy and renewed strength. Give her a new song, the Lord, to sing. Give her refreshing in her spirit. Bless her, oh Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for this spirit today. the spirit of serving you that never leaves the heart of one who loves to worship you, God. David said, early in the morning will I rise up and seek your face. And certainly, God, we have did that today. I thank you for my sister, Sister Shirley Bogle, the heart of worship that has been birthed in her before the world even began. God, it never leaves. I pray her strength, God, for the journey that is set for her, before her, oh God, at this moment, God, as they journey in ministry together, God, that always worship and adoration and exaltation will be the part of their marriage. And even as Pastor Bogle said, there was something about you this morning, Shirley. You look so good. It was the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surely the Lord has adorned you with beauty beyond measure. For he has adorned you with a garment of praise and the garment of worship. Oh, my sister, be fruitful unto the Lord and bless his name as you always do.
Hallelujah. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, as you began with us in our youth, continue with us, dear God, long after this moment. And I rebuke every spirit of sickness, every power of the enemy that would come against mind, soul, or body. We rebuke you, Satan. You have no place within us. Let the visitation of God's divine order manifest itself in our thinking, in our bodies, and prosperous as never before. We claim it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I thank God for people that are precious. And one of the things that I really appreciate, Shirley's gifted. She's good in music. And because we felt it was the Lord's will, she did. And the evolving of situations, she became someone who sat in the pew as far as the services are without it affecting her at all. She was willing to let God elevate who he will, promote who he will, develop who he will. And I thank God for that spirit. I thank God that God has put that spirit within my wife and I, that we have no difficulty of just letting God do whatever he wants. And if he says, pull back and let somebody else stand, it hasn't been a problem with us. And I'm not saying it for boasting. I'm saying it for gratitude. I thank God that the Holy Spirit is able to put you where you ought to be and cause you to be content. I thank God for that. God is so good. Steve, I want you to come and give a testimony.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to be in the house this morning.
Yes.
December 5th, I went in. Well, before December 5th, in November, I was diagnosed with two blockages in my heart. And I'm 43 years old. And at 43 years old, you shouldn't have any blockages in your heart. Amen.
Amen.
And I went in for a cardiac catheterization. And I thought they were going to fix everything. But they said, no, you have to have angioplasty. So I went to Ann Arbor, and they put three stents in my arteries. Well, to make a long story short, I'm walking 25 minutes on a treadmill. I'm running 5 minutes. I'm cooling down 5 minutes. I'm meditating. I'm drinking noni juice. I suck lemons like a madman. But God has done a wonderful regeneration. I just feel so good. I feel like I can run a mile. I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm feeling like Pastor Bogle now. Yeah. I just thank God for the prayers of the saints.
Amen.
Above everything, my son had a surgery. He had a 67% curvature in his spine at 5 years old. And what was so awesome about the whole thing, he came home about 3 days later, and he never once complained about pain. You know, and everybody prayed for him. I prayed, everybody in the church prayed for him. And he never, ever complained about pain. The only thing he kept saying as he laid there with his brace on, with his chin strapped, with his back of his head braced, he said, Dad, gotta pee. You know, and I thank God that he has, and to this day, all he can do is say, look, Dad, I can move my neck. Look at him. Yeah. God is good. Amen. God is good. So if there's an affliction in your body, my testimony this morning is get your knees dirty. Amen. Amen. Get your knees dirty. God bless you.
I want you to share how the Lord's changed your diet habits, what you eat.
Oh, yeah. Nothing? The Lord has really given me an excitement about health now. Pastor Carr is healthy. Pastor Bogle is healthy. And right now, I got about $30 worth of apples, oranges, nectarines, tangerines, lemons in the refrigerator, cucumbers, carrots. And for Christmas, I got a Jack LaLanne juicer.
Yeah.
You know, now, you know Jack LaLanne is about 90 years old, and he can swim and pull a tugboat, you know. And I plan on pulling something sooner or later. But the diet has changed, and I have a passion for new food, different food. The grease, gotta go. The bacon, gotta go. I am a turkey-holic right about now, amen? And it's not just because I've fell to an affliction. It's about a newness of mind. It's about the mind is new. I can't eat that no more. And if I taste it, it's like a sin. Lord, forgive me, Father, I did wrong. But it's got to be a mind change.
Yes.
And it'll make you feel so much good. Do I look good? I look good? I dropped 4 pounds, too.
Give him a great hand. God bless you today. Hallelujah. Bless you. And all of you that are faithful, we're glad you're here as well. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. I want you to open your Bibles to Psalms 139, and we're going to begin in verse 13 of that chapter. And before we read, I want to get your mind set in a certain way of thinking. And that is, the Word of God declares, as a man thinketh, so is he. And I want you with me to consider the thinking of David, the psalmist and king of Israel. I want you to see how his thoughts went. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, it reveals the thinking process of a great man who had a heart for God, a man after God's own heart. And looking in verse 13, it tells us, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." There are two things that David was impressed with. Number one, he was impressed with God. Secondly, he was impressed with himself. He looked at himself and he said, "I came out of the dust. I came out of nothing. I began as a miracle. When I look at myself, I recognize that I am marvelous. I am fantastic. I am fearfully and wonderfully made." But David was so balanced that he could be impressed with himself and find that it didn't challenge his love for God. It didn't cause him to miss his respect and appreciation of God. It's as though if you're going to be a bird that flies, you have to have two wings. And as you look, you find the two wings of David in this one thought, and there's others as well. But on one side, it is God. How wonderful you are. The second is David. You're fantastic. And he was able to soar because he had a balance of looking and seeing, "Oh God, you are wonderful." And looking at David and saying, "Oh David, you are wonderful." I say that today because even in the church, so that we won't have pride, we continually beat up on ourselves. But we have to understand in this moment, you got to give yourself a break. You got to understand who created you. The devil didn't birth you. God did. The devil didn't design you. God did. The devil didn't engineer you. God did. You are God's creation. Begin to praise God that you are His creation, and God doesn't make junk. When He made you, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. In the Living Bible, it says, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Thank you for making me what? So wonderfully complex." You're going to have to appreciate yourself if you're going to produce something worth having. You can't look at yourself and beat yourself up all the time and expect something wonderful. You've got to understand, I am fantastic. I keep reading in the scriptures where we are to love one another in the New Testament. And Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, in that you have love one toward another." But if I look at myself and I think I'm a klutz, and you're worse than I am, I got problems, but you are worse off than me. I got some problems, but what about you? If I were to love you, I'd have to be doing a service. Loving isn't meant to be a service, it's meant to be a response. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. When you love somebody else, it's not that you're doing them a favor, you are appreciating treasure. I've begun to enjoy Shirley of late. And that amazes me, because I never knew anybody you could love could bring you that much joy. You know, do you have a good relationship? No, we love each other. Did you have a great week? No, we're in love. We're married. We love each other. And so, you know, we put up with each other because we love each other. We're not going nowhere. We're going to stay there till Jesus comes. Why? We love each other. Oh, we don't like each other, but we love each other. We love each other. Listen, if you love somebody, you ought to like them. This duty stuff that we're doing, God's word says, "I'm going to love you and I forgive you, and God help me to make it." The psalmist David said, "I am fabulously made. I am wonderfully complex. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." At the same time, it didn't diminish one bit his devotion to God, his love for God, his appreciation for God. He was stuck on two people. He was stuck on God, and he was stuck on himself. And if you have that kind of an equation, stuck on God and stuck on yourself, you're going so high, you're going to soar like the eagles. You're going to run and not be weary. You're going to walk and not faint. You're going to go forward in him and be enriched and an enricher of others, if you can do what David did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There is another book that I appreciate. It's, some of you have heard about it. I like it in places and I don't others. It's called The Message by Peterson. But I like this passage. And he says, "Oh yes, you formed me in my mother's womb. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit. How I was sculptured from nothing into something." And I like that last part. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. From nothing into something. And that keeps going on as you began from nothing into something. And a name was given to you as a baby. And as you came to Christ from nothing into something, as your sins were forgiven, and in your inadequacies from nothing into something, it's from glory to glory, it's glory to glory. God wants to keep on bringing you from nothing to something, nothing to something, nothing to something, nothing to something, nothing to something. I was nothing and now I'm something. You can't just appreciate the preacher. You can't just appreciate the guy on television. You can't just appreciate the heroes that you see in sports. You can't just watch great people. You are great. You are great. And the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And I was thinking, there's young people here. I wish you could hear me today, you young child, and know that just because you have a problem in school doesn't crash you. And just because you don't get the best grades doesn't mess you up. God loves you. And just because you don't have all the friends somebody else has, you are fearfully and fearfully and fearfully and wonderfully made. Give God a praise offering. The man who trashes himself is going nowhere. The woman who trashes herself is going nowhere. You love people as you love yourself. And the fact is, we are introduced early in life to judgment that doesn't give us good grades. Because we're looking at the bar and we don't rise above it. Most of us in the beginning, we don't rise above it. But you might be an achiever that in the latter days will be greater than you've ever been. But not until God gets into your spirit. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. David said, what am I impressed with? He said, you already know how I feel about God. I won't go into that now, but I'll tell you what I think about me. I was nothing. And out of nothing, I came forth. And there I was in my mother's womb, the smallest beginning of cells. And somehow, it fit together perfectly. And I was birthed, and I was unable to care for myself. But God had provision and plan all the way. And I started watching me, and I started seeing me when I wasn't big. I was but a shepherd lad. Nobody knew where I was headed. Nobody knew what God had in mind, but God did. David said, God knew from the beginning who I was. He knew I was king of Israel when I was but in my mother's womb. He knew I was a leader of his people when I was yet but in the womb. God knew me all the way through, and he knew my greatness before I did. But he said, even when I watched the sheep, I thought different than other shepherds. Even when I was watching sheep, and sheep watching wasn't fabulously applauded. You can't do anything? Watch the sheep. You're not worth much? Watch the sheep. You're not a great person? Watch the sheep. You read the scriptures, you think that being a shepherd was a great thing. Listen, they kept that for the people who couldn't do nothing else. Shepherds were not applauded as great people. They were low-income people. And he began as a low-income man. But his thoughts were fabulous. In a station that was low, he was able to declare, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to be broke. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, and what I do for these sheep for pennies, he does for me out of love. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That wasn't shepherd talk. That was king talk. That was prophet talk. That was powerful talk. I don't know where you're at working, but I tell you, it's your thoughts that's important. It's your thoughts that's important. As a man thinketh, so is he. And what did David think? There's nobody more precious than God. But right next to him is me. Right next to him is me. I'm impressed with two people. One is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One is he who is eternal. One is God. Second is me. Because I was brought out of nothing. And God has visited me with spirit and life and power and wisdom and ability. And God has made me, knows every bone in my body, every organ that's there. It all works together and orchestrates a wonderful work. I am gloriously made. I am amazed at how wonderful I am. Why don't you praise God so you can praise yourself? Why don't you praise God so you can praise yourself? Spring up, oh well, spring up. Spring up, my life. Spring up, my heart. Spring up, my joy. Spring up, my gifts. You look and you see everything that's made in this hour. Go down to the airport and see a whole new wonder that's there. Look and see the architect work that's all there. Look and see all the planes that fly in. Look and see all the activity. And I ask you, when it started, what was it like? Two brothers with a bit of canvas and sticks and a small gasoline engine that said, this thing can get off the ground. I wish the Wright brothers were back here to see the right stuff. It's amazing. But who has done it? A man. Wherever you look and see what happens today, the internet, a marvelous tool that is disappointedly exercised by fools, but what an amazing thing it is. Who developed it? A man. Look at the lights that are shining here so that we can be here night and day if we choose. Who did it? A man. Look at the ships that go across the oceans. Who made those? A man. Look and don't just look at sin and drugs. That's why we got sin and drugs. We're not praising God for what God can do through his human family. Open your wallet and pull up paper that isn't worth a penny. But it can buy a house, a car, send a child to college. Money is one of the most amazing things there is. And especially money in our time. It's a miracle. I can understand gold. I can understand diamonds. I can understand silver. But when you give me this paper stuff and you tell me I can trade it for a house, I can get this paper because I worked all week, it can take care of me and take me on a journey, I can do it with this paper that's not worth anything but the ink it's printed on, except God's given men wisdom. We need to start thanking God that he made man. How can I love you if you don't have any worth? How can I love you if you have no gift? How can I love you if you have nothing in you? I've got to love you because you're worth loving. So show me something worth loving. Show me your gifts. Show me your power. Show me your beauty. Show me what you have so I can thank God for you. Some people would preach this message out of arrogance. That's not what I'm talking about. It's got to get into your spirit. You can't say a color is beautiful and just because you want to get a thought across, you got to understand, forget the color. A man's beautiful. Forget the color. A woman is beautiful. I had a friend say to me that had been in Korea, said, I was raised in the middle of the city of Detroit. He was a black man, didn't matter, but he was. And he said, I was in a tent and I heard a Korean baby cry. And he said, the thought that entered my mind, that Korean baby cries just like a black baby. And I want to tell you, all babies cry alike. But you don't stay a baby. And there's time for us to realize all men shout the same. They're meant to shout the same. He has created me so that he can get the praise and the honor and the joy. And I'm going to get beyond my problems so I can rejoice. I'm going to get beyond my sins so I can rejoice. I'm going to get beyond my failures so I can rejoice. Give God a praise offering. David didn't say, I'm great because of what I do. He said, I'm great because of who I am. We keep trying to impress somebody by what we do. What we do should confirm the fact of our greatness, but our greatness comes before our activity. Your greatness doesn't come after your activity. That's where we get into a trouble. I'm going to really serve the Lord. I'm going to really dedicate my life. I'm really going to be dedicated. I'm really going to be obedient because that's the way I got applause when I went to school. But you're not in the school at school. You're in the school of the Holy Ghost who says you're already fabulous. God saw how fabulous we were while we were yet sinners. Why did he die for us? Because we were worth dying for. Because we're worth dying for. Get that into your understanding. He wasn't foolish. When he died for us, he did the right thing. Wisdom and love dictated that he die for us. Because no matter how much sin was making us look bad, we still had value. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We still had value. Your son, your daughter, your aunt, your uncle, they have value in this hour, but they've been trashed by what is about us in the system, and we need to get victory and hear David's thoughts. David said, you already know what I think about God, but you don't know what I think about me. And he said, when I began, it was a miracle from the start. Before it showed up as a miracle, it was a miracle. When I was hidden in my mother's womb, I was a miracle. When I was birthed, I was a miracle. When my brothers went to military and was in the army, and I was the little kid who stays home, I was a miracle. And when I came before I toppled Goliath, they looked at me and said, get out of here, punk kid. Get away from here, punk kid. You brought the food. Get out of here. But I was a miracle carrying the food for somebody else. I was a miracle carrying the food to my brothers. And my brothers said, you don't measure up to us. But they've never heard about my brothers. But my name goes on. I am blessed because I was born to be blessed. David said, I was blessed before it showed. Hallelujah. But who knew that? David knew it as soon as he was thinking. You got to start as quick as you can knowing this. Because if you don't know it, you won't become what you can be. You have to know that this faith that you have, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. Give God a praise offering. I feel the Holy Spirit here. You see, our thinking, and I'm going to close in a moment, but basically our thinking is, you make your choice. You either are going to be impressed with God or you're going to be impressed with yourself. Now, if you're going to be impressed with yourself, you're going to hell. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. David said, I'm looking at two people. I'm looking at my elder brother. I'm looking at the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I look in the mirror and I say, there's not much difference between us. Hallelujah. There's not that much difference between us. It's God that made me too. It's God that ordained me too. It's God who gave me his spirit too. And where two or three of us are gathered together, there's enough of God in the middle of us to make it a miracle. I used to think that God was stayed up in heaven and he looked down and he said, one, two, three. Hold it, guys. I'm going down there. There's two or three. When you bring as much God as you got, and you bring as much God as you got, and I bring as much God as I got, he's there. He's there. He's there. He's there. When you get two or three people bringing how much God they've got, you end up with him in the midst. Give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. And when we come to the body of Christ, as we know it, what is the first thing that we feel? Conviction. Some of us never get over it because we don't arrive as long as we stay on the basis of conviction. We have to understand conviction is showing what's wrong, but it is not showing no value. It is showing what has to be dealt with, but it's not showing no value. And what do I think? I'm kicking the tires, as they used to say, and I'm saying, there's a problem here. I wouldn't give you that much for it. How much would you give for me? I tell you, it depends on what you see. But how about changing it? How much would you give for you? And I want you to know, you know more about your negatives than I do, but I don't care. You're still worth a lot. What do I find that amazes me in this hour is the multiplied things that a mind that has been created by God can come across and cause to happen. I'll just give you one illustration. It hasn't happened. But there's 100 different ways that a person can prosper financially that nobody's even touched yet. I'll give you an illustration. People need money, short-time cash. People need that. What could a ministry do? What could a church do? What could a person do? Everybody's got something that they don't need this week. But you need money to get to church, to work. And so you bring in something that you got, a lawnmower. And you say, I need $10. My lawnmower's worth $50. And the person says, all right. And you wouldn't even have to have pawn shop rules and laws, which are horrendous. I'll sell it to you, and I have 30 days to redeem it. You bring it back in 30 days. You get your lawnmower back. You pay the bill. You go on your way. You don't pay it. You've already sold it. You didn't redeem it in 30 days. You get by without it. The lawnmower sells for $25. Everybody wins. What am I trying to say? There are 1,000 ways that there can be prosperity in this hour if we are understanding how wonderful we are in this mind. And we get caught up in thinking that it's only if you get a college degree that you're able to be fabulous. I want to tell you, there's people who've never ever gone to college that are phenomenally successful. And I thank God for education, but you don't get it by going high for 4 years at some college. You get it because it was there before you went to college. Spaced out for 4 years, partying, get your degree and come out, get the parchment, and go on and succeed. Did the college create you? No, God did. God created you. God created you. In spite of what happened at college, you can win. There's more to this message. It's an awesome word. What happens at college? When you come out, you think better about yourself. That's why you do better, because you think better about yourself. But you don't have to go to college to think better about yourself. You can be with stinking sheep and feel better about yourself if you know Him. I want you to stand, saints. If you're lost today, and I preach primarily to saints that are struggling, I understand that. 8 o'clock is not the place where that most of the unsaved come, but I can't accept this as a limitation. Because somebody can be here that needs everything that is going on in this service. And if you need the Master as your Savior, if you will except Jesus, He'll get the garbage out of your life. He'll cause you to be born again. Old things will pass away, and you'll receive your rightful treasure, God's best in your life. And I'm asking you right now, if you're here today and you came to church because you knew that you needed God to save you, the Bible says the first beginning of clarity is, as David was able to say, God and I are friends. There's nothing between me and the Master. We have a relationship. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I have no lack. Then I want you to say in this moment, I'm coming to Him for a new beginning. Just leave where you're at and come stand in the front of the church. Thank you, Jesus. If you need the Master, if you need the Master, if you need the Master, if you need Jesus, if you need Jesus, if you need the Master, if you're not saved, you need God to save you. If you're not saved, you need God to change you. If you come for other reasons, that's acceptable as well. But there's a call that goes out for salvation. God, I know in this moment, I know that I'm a treasure. Now deliver this treasure from the power of sin. Deliver this treasure from bondage. Deliver this treasure from curse. Deliver this treasure from bondage. Loose this treasure. Loose me, God, and set me free and create me afresh and anew. If any woman, man is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things pass away and all things are made new. And I invite you to come as the Holy Spirit draws you. And we're going to pray a prayer concerning salvation. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Aloud with me, congregation and all. Dear Jesus, I know that I need you. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior, as my Lord. Come into my heart. Come into the center of me. Set everything in order. Loose me from the curse. Quicken me and make me alive. Let me, God, be alive in this moment. Physically, mentally, spiritually. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. 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 There's personal workers that will take you to make sure that you feel comfortable. If you're here to get right with God, just go that way to lead the people that want to be led. God bless you. As we prepare to close the service today, I feel the Holy Spirit here. How many feel presence of God? I really do. I really do. There's a miracle going on right now. After we close benediction, you that can be a part of the fitness center, I want God to add 15 years to your life. This is one facet that you can't ignore. Thank the Lord for Brother Steve Moss and his testimony. May God help us all to be blessed. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that this is the day that you've made. And we can rejoice. And we can be glad in it. I thank you, God, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I thank you that every heart that is here is fearfully and wonderfully made. And I thank you, God, that as I see this, it doesn't stop me from looking beyond this and saying, if it wasn't for God, there would be nothing but space. But in this moment, there is blessing indeed. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a praise offering. God bless you.